live and local with Monica J. 99.1 is FM Talk.
Trying to make it not quite so manic for you, though. We've got lots of blue sky here. It's, you know, we're in a winter storm warning, but that's okay. Just hunker down. It's the holiday season. Got Thanksgiving coming up on Thursday. What are you thankful for? You can give us a call, live and local FM Talk for all of Northern Nevada. It's the Monica J. Show on 92.3 and 99.1 FM Talk, literally all of Northern Nevada. So I love it when I get requests for interviews, so you can see the different things that we talk about here. And most recently had one of our secretaries on. We had the secretary of the VA on here just last Friday, and then before that, the Secretary of Energy, not the Secretary of Energy, forget which one he is, and we were talking about the grid. You know, you can just hit a couple of points in our grid and it goes down. Where is the money? We're seeing things on every single level. You know, where's the money that we pay to PG&E to keep the lights on in California? Where's the maintenance? Where's the infrastructure here for Reno that provides for a better sewer system? Our sewer system is at max capacity. Well, when you look at the federal government, where's the advancement in technology for our military systems? We're so worried about fighting over there. What about right here? What about at home? So joining us right now on the show is George Landreth. And George is the president of Frontiers of Freedom. And you might remember, if you're as old as I am, back in the 60s, the Pentagon approved the Minuteman missile defense system. It's like everybody knows about that. But what do we have now? What is helping protect this country? So we had to have George on. George, thank you so much for joining the show, and I appreciate your time today to talk about the defense of this country.
Absolutely, Monica. It's and this is an important topic. Yesterday, I was talking with a friend of mine, and he's a naval officer grad from the Naval Academy, and he was telling me how grateful he was that this year he would be at home on Thanksgiving and Christmas, because many times he's been at sea, deployed, and on Christmas morning or Thanksgiving, he has been essentially on duty on the bridge and been greeting his fellow sailors with, Merry Christmas, Happy Thanksgiving, while his family was half a globe away. So I jokingly said, would it be too much to ask if the bad guys could just agree that Thanksgiving and Christmas are off limits so that you could be home on the holidays with your family? He smiled and said, well, yeah, sadly, that is probably asking too much. He said, because evil never rests.
Yes, and, that is so true.
You know, so the reality is we have lots to be thankful for. And one of the things I think is that people like him understand that evil never rests. But it does worry me sometimes that we don't always provide our, defenders with the very, very best. We sometimes give them aging equipment and, things that make their job harder and, quite frankly, put them at greater risk. And you brought the Minuteman, and I think that's, the answer is the Minuteman is still what's defending us, even though it was first deployed in 1962. And while it's been upgraded over time and so forth, it's still the same basic infrastructure. And fortunately, the Pentagon understands they have to essentially reboot, and they've come up with a plan to build a new system called the Ground-Based Strategic Deterrent, GBSD. But I think the unfortunate thing is that they look like, rather than holding a robust competition between America's best and brightest, they're about ready to award a sole source cost plus contract that could end up being well over $85 billion. And to me, what scares me about that is two factors. One, we spend a lot of money. We may not get the very best, because my experience in life tells me that you don't set a lot of records out on when you're just working out on your own. Those records are set. That's the preparation for the record setting, but the records are set when you're up against the world's best competition. And
that's competition.
True. Right. So it worries me, because I feel like, you know, this isn't just something we're going to do for next week. This will be, and it's like, as you know, 50, 60 years has passed. So this is going to be the new nuclear deterrent for the next 50 or 60 years. So I feel like, and just to be perfectly blunt, I do remember as a grade schooler, we had, you know, air raid siren at the school that would alert the local neighborhoods. And we would hide under our desks during drills, just like fire drills. We had fire drills. We had nuclear drills. As serious as things were perceived to be during the Cold War, the reality is what we now know is that Russia was basically a nuclear power that had an impressive military capability, but they didn't really have a serious economy. I would argue that today the problem is the Chinese, in fact, are a much more formidable foe, because not only do they have nuclear capacity and they're rapidly building a huge blue water navy, their navy is actually now bigger than ours. I'm not saying it's better, but it definitely is. You know, they have more ships and they're rapidly expanding and so forth. But they actually have a real economy. So it won't. My point is, they're a more formidable foe. And so I would argue that today we are in a more dangerous position than we were in 1960, even though during the Cold War, most Americans understood how dangerous the world really was. I think today most Americans don't get that, you know, this idea of evil never rests, and it's a big deal. So it worries me, because these are not just, you know, this isn't just some contract. This is something that's going to affect, you know, your security, your children's security, and quite frankly, your grandchildren's security.
Well, and Dave, so we what concerns me, right. though, when you talk about China having the economy and the Blue Water Navy and everything like that, what concerns me is almost every single thing here in America is made in China. They control our security. They have our computers. You know, this is not a foe that we can go up against easily, because they know everything about us, and they have infiltrated this country with even owning property and companies and right. and the so forth.
You're exactly right. I mean, one of the concerns here is during the Cold War, we accurately and correctly perceived Russia to or Soviet Union to be a tremendous risk. And so we had very limited exchanges, and we were not actively funding our own destruction. We weren't helping them build their nuclear weapons or their navy. We weren't helping right. them defeat us. Right now, and for quite frankly, the last 30, 40 years, we have treated China as if it was a developing country. And there was a time when it was, but we're well past that now. And to the extent they have people who live in abject poverty, it's because the government chooses to do that, because they put their money into things that help advance the national interest in ruling the world, not feeding their own people. But it's not because they're a third world country any longer. They could feed their people if they chose to. They'd rather build a blue water navy. They'd rather subsidize technology to America so they can worm their way into everything. It's one of the things that concerns me, is that we don't really understand the nature. And I mean, you obviously do, and I would like to think I do. But I'm talking about, as a country, we don't fully appreciate the risk that China poses. They're not just a way for us to get inexpensive children's toys, or for that matter, baby powder that has arsenic in it, or whatever else they produce that strikes me as kind of bizarre. But anyhow.
Drywall.
Yeah, we have to be very careful. I mean, in China, they mix everything in terms of, there is no separate industrial policy from their military and foreign policy. It's all one, and because they have a dictatorship, and so it's very risky, and that's why this is important. It's not just this theoretical. So why do we need a new Minuteman? And the answer is, we need ground-based strategic deterrence now far more than we needed it in 1962. And we need to be robust because the risks are greater, the technology is greater, the other side's capacity to do harm is greater. And we have to be in a position to have the most robust deterrent effect out there. And I don't think you get that, one, when you spend way too much, because that means then you're going to end up, if you spend too much, you end up not buying other things you need. And that means maybe fewer fighter planes, fewer aircraft carriers, who knows, you know, whatever it is. But then even more important than that, perhaps, though, is if you don't have a robust competition, you don't get the level of excellence that we need. And we need the very, very best systems. They have to last us for 60 years. And it just worries me. And so I hope the Air Force gets its act together, but it doesn't seem that it wants to. It's kind of buried its head in the sand and is defending the approach that it has used, which is going to lead to what I've described and what kind of worries me. And so I'm hoping that maybe Congress and, quite frankly, the president will say, wait a minute, guys. We're not going to do it this way. You messed this one up. Let's start over. We're not going to lose time because the reality is, if someone's going to build a house and they're building it wrong, you don't lose time by getting it right before you build the foundation. You actually save time.
Well, unfortunately, fortunately, Trump's a businessman, and he knows how to play that game about competition and making sure everybody has their prices in. But hey, George, stick around for just a second. I got a couple of things that I want to ask you, but I got to take a quick break. We'll be right back with the president and CEO, George Landreth, Frontiers of Freedom. And do we have what it takes to protect this country? Or is it just being, given to somebody's friend or, maybe a payback? You never know nowadays. So we'll be right back on the Monica Jay Show on 92.3 and 99.1 FM Talk.
This is where Nevada comes to hear and talk about the news. 99.1 FM Talk, KKFT.
And you know you can talk about whatever you want to talk about. It's live and local FM Talk for all of Northern Nevada on the Monica Jay Show. 884-9910, we'll be getting to you in a little bit, but I want to finish up my conversation with George Landreth, who is the president and CEO of Frontiers of Freedom, making sure that our American defense system is what it should be and not what, who's got buddies in the Department of Defense. George, I want to go back to, again, thank you for staying through the break.
I'm glad to do it.
I want to go back to something that you were saying about China, because here in just a month and a half, we are going to be into 2020. Do you believe the year 2020? Well,
time flies.
Yeah, doesn't it? Sometimes too fast. So the Chinese have, in effect, a goal of world superiority at 2025. They want to be the leaders of everything. They want to be, basically the dominant power. They have integrated themselves into everything in every country, whether it be their security systems, the programs that they have, the electronics that they have, and buying up property in all of, we have a number of Chinese-owned companies here in Reno, in Northern Nevada, that own land. Isn't it more than just a defense system that we're going to need in the long run? I mean, it's not just protecting the homeland.
Well, you're right. I mean, defense is more complicated than perhaps we always kind of admit to. But the reality is, if you're going to maintain your position in the world as the world's superpower, and America does it in a way that's benign, meaning we allow other nations to live in peace and harmony and happiness and prosperity, even though we are the world's most powerful nation. We don't necessarily view it as our goal to, take from people. And it's just a different outlook than the communist Chinese have. But on a practical level, whether it's whether it's 5G technology, whether it's shipping, whether it's whatever, China is in every way, shape, and form trying to worm its way into our system to weaken us and control us. And that's why, one, we have to resist that. I think economically we have to make sure that as a nation we maintain our technological, our innovation edge, and we don't just let them steal all of our technology and so forth. And but I also think that this ground-based strategic deterrent is important not just to defend the country, but to tell the rest of the world that we're serious about defending ourselves and our allies, and that there is no one on the planet that is going to take our place, so that they can essentially trust and be willing to be our ally and friend in the light of threats and provocative behavior from China. As soon as we start looking like we're going to give up to China, then we will see a rapid decline in our ability to defend ourselves.
George, what can the American people do? You know, the people listening to this show, what can they do to make the difference?
Well, at least with respect to the, certainly on this one defined issue, because I said there's lots of issues here, but when it comes to ground-based strategic deterrent, I would recommend, call your congressman, call your senator, write letters to the White House. These are all busy people, so I'm not suggesting they're not interested. I'm suggesting there's lots of issues before them, and, we need to make sure they understand that as Americans, we're worried about what we're doing with supplying our fighting men and women with the very best tools to defend us. And when it comes to something that's going to have to last for 60 years, like ground-based strategic deterrence, it needs to be the product of competition. And the way the Air Force has done it, they've basically ruled out competition and made it so it's not a serious competition at all. Mm-hmm. And so they're about ready to give just the contract to one company and just say, yeah, you figure it out. And it's a good company, so I'm not bad-mouthing them. But that's not how America produces its best. And it's not how in the past we've done this. We've either done it through a robust competition, or in some cases, at the end of that competition, we've had the two companies that were the best work together to bring a best-of approach and take the strengths of both groups. So my point is, I'd be much happier with that and the product that that's going to produce and the cost savings of that product, that process will produce, than I am with this idea of we'll just give it to one company and shrug our shoulders and say, yeah, that's fine.
Yeah. I mean, we've got billions of dollars in our defense of this country. That's what we spend. Isn't that what we spend the most on? We've got to make sure that it's the best.
Once you get past the entitlement programs, yeah. I mean, on the discretionary budget, the defense budget's pretty large. But by the same token, when you look at the dangerous world we live in and what it costs to defend ourselves against the many different risks we have, I don't know that we spend too much. I do think sometimes we don't always do it wisely, and sometimes the Pentagon has a hard time in kind of being innovative and planning well. But at the same time, this is a big expenditure. $85 billion is a lot of money. Let's get it right. Let's not flush half that down the john doing something stupid.
George, how can people find out more about Frontiers of Freedom?
Well, our website's super easy, just ff.org, ff.org.
That is too easy.
Yeah.
Appreciate it. Well, George, I hope you stay in touch, and I'm sure that there's all kinds of things that we can talk about when it comes to the freedoms of this country and making sure that they're maintained and that we don't lose sight, with everything that goes on in Washington, D.C., all the bric-a-brac and, back and forth, that we don't lose sight of what's most important, and that is our freedoms and our safety.
No, that is exactly right. It's why we have a federal government. Our founding fathers formed a federal government primarily to make sure that we could defend ourselves. But now in Washington, you get the impression that the real reason for it is so that they can perpetually investigate. And, it's just like, really?
Make money
for the people.
Make money for themselves. Yeah, you know our founding fathers are rolling over in their graves right now going, what did we do this for? So, all right, George Landreth, thank you so much for joining us today, President and CEO of Frontiers of Freedom. And we'll talk again someday soon, I'm sure. Thank you, George. 884-9910, stick around. We have another special guest coming up in just a moment. Tell us what's going on out in Lyon County. Last week I was telling you about that sewage and, or I should probably say water first, water and sewage. Sewage and water just doesn't sound as good for some reason. So the water and sewage fee increase. Yeah, not a tax, it's a fee. Somebody's still going to have to explain the difference of that to me. But Ken Gray joining us in just minutes here. Right now, though, it's time for a Fox News update. So we'll get that out of the way and more on The Monica Jay Show. Your concerns and your calls at 884-9910 on 92.3 and 99.1 FM Talk. It's The Monica Jay Show. And you can find me on social media. Actually, just go to 991fmtalk.com. That's our website. And you can click on my picture there, go into shows or schedule and click on my picture. You've got my page there. And then there you have it. You can stream the show live. You can check out the podcasts. And of course, all my forms of social media are on there, Instagram and Facebook and Twitter, blah, 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 blah. And the links to them as well. So 884-9910, always the number to call, especially if you want to be on the show on 92.3 and 99.1 FM Talk and talk with all of Northern Nevada. So welcome once again, one of my good friends who just happens to be a Lyon County Commissioner, Ken Gray. Hi, Ken.
Good morning, Monica. Good morning, Northern Nevada.
I am confused, Ken. Last week, I kept telling everybody, hey, if you don't want your water and your sewer bill to go up, you need to get ahead of this. And there's a, you know, county commission meeting coming up and they're going to vote on it and yada, yada, yada. And you'd think that people wouldn't want their bills going up.
Well, it was a packed house. The public made their thoughts known. I was against the tremendous hikes to begin with. Not that there doesn't need to be hikes at this point, but I don't believe these were well thought out or based on accurate data. I think there's some erroneous data that they used to project these hikes.
Now, why did they need the money?
Well, one of the biggest reasons is our rolling A treatment plant, which, mind you, we're still paying on the last upgrades. Paying on the bonds on those, it is over 100% capacity. They're pumping sewage into it, and it's barely keeping up. That being one reason. The other reason is, you know, when they do this, they do want to, the plan was to, when they replace, say, a lift station, to increase the size of the lift station to allow for future growth, which, you know, I guess it's fine, but the fact is our taxpayers, our ratepayers are going to be on the hook for that if that future growth doesn't come. And that's why I was against it. I mean, my thought was, okay, let's figure out actually what needs to be done and let's do that. Only borrow what we need to address the critical problems at hand. And, that's where I stood on it.
So where did you feel like the people from the community were standing on it?
They did not want the tremendous rate hikes. They wanted a full accounting of the money that has been spent, what's going to happen with the money that's going to be raised, and, you know, where the county plans on going with that. And not even all my answers are fully answered by staff at this point, nor the study Far West did.
Wow.
I will say that the what was passed by Commissioner Keller, which was motioned and passed by Commissioner Keller, does give us some teeth and allows us to manage these repairs going forward and only spend the amount of money that needs to be spent and only borrow, more importantly, the money that needs to be borrowed. And we're going to meet monthly, her and I and county staff. We're going to meet at least monthly to figure out where we need to go, what's being done, and making sure the public's money is being spent well. I will say that Commissioner Keller and I were not too far apart on this. We just had different plans and approaches. Wanted to do was go ahead.
Why aren't developers paying for these expansions when they bring in more homes and more people?
That's kind of a tricky question. Part of it is the timing right now, where this, these problems, we've been hit with these problems at the same time growth is happening. And I agree. I mean, I think we should, especially with connection fees, I think we should charge the connection fees. Well, first we need to reevaluate these connection fees and find out if they're actually what the market can bear with regards to them. Second, we need to collect these connection fees at the time the final map is done, not when they go to permitting. What happens is if they wait until permitting, it could be quite a while before they pay these fees. That gives us a slower response time in actually getting the upgrades in place. The second thing is they're concerned that if we collect the fees in advance, the fees could go up between the time that the final map is approved and the time the permitting for the actual construction happens. I'm okay with that. Okay, if the fees go up, what we do is when we allow them to prepay their connections, we put on there a 1 or 2 year time frame that says if you don't execute these connections in this time frame, then what we need to do is we need to assess you the difference between what you paid then and what you're paying now, so you don't get a bargain just because you've been slow getting going.
And that's they're going to pass that cost on.
Exactly. So it's not going to. There's no skin for them in the game. What happens is we get burned. I mean, they pay for these connections. The infrastructure growth happens, and then the development doesn't come. I mean, in my own neighborhood here in Dayton, I can't tell you how many vacant lots we had that had utilities run right up to the property, but were never connected. They were paid for, but never connected. And there is still, the system had to be installed to accommodate those homes. So you've got, the useful lifespan of those pieces of equipment ticking by with every day that goes by with nobody paying the depreciation on them. So when they have to be replaced, who gets caught, with it? The current rate payers. So it's just ill thought out, planning in a lot of cases. And developers absolutely should pay the cost, which is, one thing I want to do is I only want to make the repairs that are absolutely necessary to get us legal with NDEP and get them off our back. They've been working with us. And then as the developers, come in with a development, they need to figure out what has to happen with, providing services to that community. And if there's a lift station that needs to be replaced to accommodate that capacity, and that lift station that we put in is only a year old, well, I'm sorry, you're going to need to replace that lift station as it stands now, because our current ratepayers are not going to pay for your development. We're not going to subsidize it for you.
Yeah. Boy, this sounds like a long, drawn-out process. And, that's hard, because good commissioners like you are hard to come by. And you and I have had the discussion that you're not going to run for re-election.
I've thought about it. It comes and goes, especially in times like this one. Stuff like this befalls the ratepayers and the taxpayers of the county. But on a bright note, I am going to make an announcement. Is that okay?
Yes.
I am going to run for re-election one more time. I've talked with the family about it, and
see, all of Lyon County is cheering.
Nice. Well, I hope so, but the time is right. We're going to do it. It's still going to allow me a forum to continue to fight, not only for our county residents, but our state and our country. As I've taken trips back to D.C. on behalf of our state. I've taken trips to Carson City on behalf of our county and our state. And it really gives me a voice in what's going on. And I'm not ready to lose that voice right now in that, that grandstand. And going forward, especially in the next couple of years, it's going to be very, very important that we all stand and fight.
Well, and knowing a number of people in Lyon County, Ken, it's not, I think, your voice. I think it's the voice of the public, because they entrust that with you, and you are one of the of the few that I know that actually pay attention to what your constituents want, and you use their voice, and you are their voice for them.
And that's kind of my fear, is that we'll get somebody in that is afraid to take the stand that people want, and the people get bowled over again. And I can't do that right now. I can't do that to our folks with so much going on.
You know, when you got into politics, did you think it was going to be, you know, it's supposed to be the nice guy finishes last, and it does seem that way, that when you get into politics, sometimes you have to be a hard nose to get things done for the people. You know, I mean, look it up here in Reno. It's like you literally have to be the bad guy to get anything done to actually fix the homeless issues that we have up here.
Yeah, some people are really afraid to take the stand for the right thing. And, you know, I know that's got me on my own commission. I've got at least one commissioner who, you know, even though we're supposed to be on the same side of things, can't stand me. You know, I'm too out there. I'm too vocal. I let the public know where I stand personally, yet willing to represent their interests. And I don't know if he feels it puts him in a bad position or what, but that's his cross to bear, not mine.
Well, don't get any fist fights like they did in Douglas.
No. I break too easy.
Yes, you are a delicate flower, you military men, you. Well, Ken, I thank you so much for calling in. That's great news. That is awesome news for all of the people of Lyon County that you've decided to run for re-election. And I'm glad that you made that announcement here. And I appreciate everything that you're doing, not only for Lyon County, but for Northern Nevada. We have a great friend in you. So thank you so much.
Well,
Ken, you have a great day. And make sure you keep us up to date on these things.
Will do, Monica. Thank you very much for allowing me the time.
Thank you. And
bye.
And that's what you do. Thank him. Bye, Ken. That's what you do, is you have to fight for the people. When you're not fighting for your community, when you're not fighting for your voters, the people who put you in office, Congress people, Washington, D.C. people, when you're not fighting for the people at home, and there's some serious issues. There's some big problems. And it's tough because, especially when you say, you know, you want to get rhinos out of office, when you start that process, well, you get people like Jackie Rosen in there. And that's not a good turn. But when you're not respecting your constituents' ideas and their thoughts and their votes, then you do need to be out. Let's go back to the phone lines at 884-9910 and check in with Barney this morning. Hi, Barney. What's on your mind?
Hi, Monica. How are you this morning?
I am great, Barney Wadley. What's going on?
Well, I just want to kind of piggyback on what Ken Gray was just saying. I was at all of the meetings on the water issues that we're having in Lyon County. And I got up and, you know, I'm pretty vocal about it. So I gave my opinions on why this was a bad deal. I had a VFW meeting that night when they voted. So I went to the earlier meeting during the 9 o'clock hour and voiced my opinion at that. Well, I found out afterwards that they voted for it. And I asked a lot of people if anybody said anything about a sunset clause for these fees, because once the sewer plants are upgraded and we are paying for it, there needs to be a sunset clause in there so that the county can't just grab this money and keep it going forever. Like
every other sunset fee out there? Good luck with that, Barney.
Anyway, Ken, if you are still listening out there, ask why nobody put a sunset clause into this agreement. It needs to be there. We don't need to be saddled with this horrendous water and sewer bills for the rest of our lives. So,
and it is a horrendous bill. That was a big jump.
Oh, yeah. It's going up 10% in January, and then in June it'll go up another 10%, and then 10% a year after that for the next 5 to 6 years.
I mean, that's just incredible.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, what people don't understand is that these increases, these 10% increases, are compound increases, which means that, you know, one increase, you'll be paying $50. The next increase, you're going to be paying $55. So it just keeps going up from there.
And, yeah, if there's anything that needs to be sunsetted, it's definitely that one.
Yes. And so anyway, Monica, I just wanted to jump in and inform the listeners a little bit more about what's going on and why there was probably, I would say, at least 300 people that through the course of these meetings that stood up in vocal opposition to it. And seems like the county manager just kind of disregarded that. And the manager for the water and sewer systems. The commissioners voted it in. Like Ken was saying, there's three commissioners that don't have any skin in this. There were two commissioners from the Dayton area that did, and they voted opposition to it. So anyway, I'll get down off of my soapbox and
No, we need more people. We need more people on those soapboxes. And, you know, hopefully people remember this at election time.
Yes. Yes, I'm sure hoping so, but the people from the south end of the county, you know, around Yarrington and south, and even Fernley, they basically don't care because it doesn't affect them.
Well, and the people that have businesses and stuff in those areas, they want Dayton to have the housing and the growth because they don't want to see it in their areas.
Yes, and I believe, and this is my own opinion, and I'll probably get crucified for it, but it's my opinion that the county manager wants this high growth in Lyon County, especially in Dayton. They've already made the lot smaller, down to 4,000 square feet for housing.
And, that's Las Vegas footage.
Yeah, exactly. So what they're pushing for is this high density growth, just like they have in South Reno out along the Veterans Parkway.
Yeah.
And the people out here in Dayton are opposed to it.
Yeah. Yeah. But we see how that goes. So much for the will of the people. Barney, thank you so much for the call and giving us the update and a little bit more on the whole situation out there in Dayton. I appreciate it. 884-9910, that's always the number to call for you to get what's off your chest and out into the public. It's the Monica Jay Show on 92.3 and 99.1 FM Talk.
Live streaming at 991fmtalk.com.
The FM News and Talk of Northern Nevada, KKFT 99.1.
Yep, it's the Monica Jay Show on 92.3 and 99.1 FM Talk. As we wrap up the show for this Monday, remember, we had to cut a couple of people off just calling in to talk about the water issue. We will do it again tomorrow. Between 10 and noon every weekday, it's your live and local FM talk show. Just call whatever topic you want to talk about. Here's a shocker for you to leave the show with. Dina Titus is endorsing Joe Biden. You remember Dina Titus down there, down there in Vegas, the one that said we need to impeach that B-tard right now. Yeah, she had her way. Hey, this is where California gets themselves into trouble. This is great to leave the show on. So some police officers went in to buy some ammo at a gun store in California. They were having a big training session, so they needed a few thousand rounds. And, they couldn't get it. There's new California laws that actually throw in a monkey wrench to ammo being delivered, even to law enforcement. Now, law enforcement has to jump through the hoops. All for whatever. And somebody just took my clock away, so I'm kind of flying blind here, but there you have it. Join us tomorrow with whatever you want to talk about. It's live and local FM talk for all of Northern Nevada on the Monica Jay Show. And you know me. I'm like Ken Gray. I don't mind toughing it out.